diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost resonant frequency technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is a national national alliance on mental illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, where we're located, everybody's a volunteer. There's no paid staff. We have no office. We all work out of our houses, and as someone once told me, that makes the commute from the kitchen to the family room a lot easier. So I have to agree with them. But what we try to do is we try to help folks and families who have someone in their family or who they themselves are suffering from a mental health issue. We do it in various ways. We do it by teaching classes to families. We have one class that's a 12-week course called Family to Family. In fact, my wife and I just finished teaching it a couple weeks ago. It covers all medications, side effects of the medications, what to do, what not to do in a crisis, what to say, what not to say when someone is, acting out a little bit. Everything we do is free. There's no charge for the classes. There's no charge for the material that we hand out. There's also what they call a basic class. That's for anyone who has a child who has some sort of mental health issue. And it's usually under the age of 18 down to, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. And that's about a 6-week course. Again, it's all free. We run a support group for families or persons that can come and be a part of a group that knows what they're going through. And it's non-judgmental, which is, excellent. And, it's like you go there and vent or whatever and, express feelings and get ideas from other people who may have gone through the same thing or are going through the same thing or have, just started to go through it. So all this is, free of charge. The only thing you have to do for the classes is to register. For the support group, you do not. If you need any information, you can reach us at 908-284-0500. There's no one manning the phone 24 hours a day because we're all volunteers, but we do check it at least twice a day, and we guarantee we'll be back to you within 12 hours. That's 908-284-0500. Today, we are very privileged to have with us Emily Wu Truong, who I believe is out in sunny California. Is that correct, Emily?
Yes, that's correct.
Is it sunny out there today?
Yes, it's nice and sunny.
That's good. Now, you're in just outside of L.A. or?
I'm in L.A. County.
L.A. Mm-hmm. County, okay.
Largest populations of Asian Americans in the whole country.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's where I grew up.
Is that where you grew up?
Yes. Yeah. After moving from Arkansas to California, that's where my parents decided to live.
Mm-hmm. Okay. From Arkansas. I bet that was that's a change going out towards L.A. Yeah.
A huge change. I think it was more because my parents wanted to be able to move, live in a place where they could be amongst family and they didn't have to drive all the way to Texas for Asian groceries.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I can understand that. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, what I find, though, is that, and I've been in every state in the union, and I find that every state has beautiful areas, mm-hmm. and every state has some areas that are not so beautiful. You know, and you think of the big cities, L.A., New York, you know, Philadelphia, Detroit, and you think, oh, God, you know, oh, they're terrible. But there are some very nice areas in those cities. And like I said, I've been to L.A. I've been to every state in the union. And it's just amazing to me how, you know, people will say, well, New Jersey. Oh, yeah, the turnpike, the parkway. Mm-hmm. Well, where I live, it's all horse farms and we live in the woods, you know, and we're all surrounded by trees. You know, I don't know. I don't see the parkway. The parkway is about an hour away from us, you know.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, again, saying, oh, well, you know, and not far from us, Jackie Kennedy had one of her homes. And, you know, and she kept horses there and so on and so forth. So it's more, you know, a lot of farm area where we are. But like I said, we personally, my wife and I, we have, it's all woods, you know, and so it's like every state is different and every state has its good points and every state has its bad points, you know, so, and it's,
definitely,
you know, it's no different anywhere else, you know.
Right. Yeah. In the area that I grew up of Arkansas, there was a lot of greenery. I was only 7 years old when we moved to California, and then I didn't go back until after I graduated from high school. And being older, I had seen how green the area was compared to the area of Los Angeles that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's definitely different. I think sometimes we take for granted the greenery that we see,
mm-hmm.
and 'cause the greenery is definitely like life's Mother Earth's way of reminding us how important we rely on nature for our oxygen and,
right, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny, too? My youngest son, a couple of weeks ago, has been asking about going to the town in New Jersey up in Bergen County, which is up near the George Washington Bridge, which is just across the river from New York, where his mom, my wife, and I basically grew up. I mean, I was born in Brooklyn. She was born in Teaneck in that area. And but so my parents moved to Teaneck after a few years, you know, living in New York. So he wanted to see the area we grew up in and the houses we had, you know, we lived in and so on and so forth. And I found that when we went there and we went to, you know, my house where I lived, I remembered it so differently.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, I thought the porch was bigger, you know, or, you know, I thought the porch went around the side of that. Well, it doesn't, you know, it's only in the front, you know, and I'm looking at it, I'm saying, wow, I thought we had a bigger yard. Well, we don't, you know, you know, you see things from a different point of view, you know,
and
I'm sure like it was the same thing you going back to Arkansas, you know, you were what, 7, 8 years old when you left. So your vision of where you lived and everything was probably different than when you went back, you know. And the same thing with my wife's house. You know, I remember going to pick her up to go on dates and stuff. We started dating as seniors in high school. And I'm looking at the house and I'm going, well, the only thing I remember about that is your father telling me to go home. That's where I take you, you know, by the side of the house there, you know.
Yeah.
it's just, you know, it's amazing, but different mm-hmm. perspectives. Anyway, I see by what you sent me, you've been very, very busy over the last year or so. And,
yeah.
You know, I told you a while ago, I'm not sure how long ago, but it's been a while, that you've got to take care of yourself, you know, before you can help everybody else. And I see, but wow, you know. You know, this will give us some things to talk about. I'm going to start out with, I guess what I'm going to start out with, I don't know, accomplishments. How's that?
Uh-huh.
Awards and accomplishments, okay? Uh-huh. Now, you're still involved with NAMI, I assume, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm now a board member of my affiliate.
Okay. I don't know how that works in where you're at.
Uh-huh.
Are they paid positions or?
No.
No.
They're also volunteers.
All volunteers. So okay.
So when you were also describing your NAMI affiliate, that also applies to ours as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that a couple that surround the counties, you know, or the surrounding counties of us here in New Jersey, they have paid staff, they have offices and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which we don't, you know, so. But.
Well, a nice thing about the NAMI In Our Own Voice program and Ending the Silence programs, where we go out to high schools and colleges and even presenting before law enforcement, consumer client peers, they're allowed to, after they do the training, they can get a stipend for sharing, going out and sharing their story.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been able to take advantage of that opportunity, especially since I don't have a full-time job and I've only had, like, part-time work in the last year or so,
mm-hmm.
or 3 years. So, so those are, like, the only other stipend opportunities that
sure.
I've been able to
right.
take advantage of. And, you know, because sometimes consumer client peers, they just, it's really difficult trying to find a job, especially when the stigma is so strong.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very good friend of mine. We consider each other brothers. That does it in our own voice. And he's very fortunate because he's a chief financial officer for a company. But he does a lot of In Our Own Voice. And, you know, and it's, you know, really, I guess, you know, it's like it helps him, as I'm sure it helps you, you know.
Yes.
Like, and they go, like when we do family-to-family classes, one of the classes near the end is always with an In Our Own Voice presentation. And he's given the last couple classes we taught, he's given it for our class, you know, and and it's cool because, you know, like he and his wife and my wife and I, we will meet sometimes for dinner and, you know, go to dinner and stuff, and we don't live that far from each other, you know, but it's not easy during the week because he's traveling to, you know, his job and his wife works and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's we do consider he, and he is on the NAMI board. He's vice president. And unfortunately, I don't know. I don't want to say unfortunately I'm president, but I am. You know, so we see each other through board meetings and stuff like that also. But In Our Own Voice is a wonderful program. And, you know, when you're giving it to high school and college and law enforcement and whoever, it's so informative that, you know, I know every class we've taught, when after they're done with the In Our Own Voice, and, you know, we'll ask them, like, what'd you think, you know? And it's like, oh, they're, you know, they're just dumbstruck, you know, that it's so great, you know, so I'm glad to see you're doing it, you know, because you may not get, you may not have a number of people that you are reaching, you know, that you say, oh, that person got it and he, you know, but you're reaching people and that's what counts, you know?
Right, yeah, most definitely. I mean, whenever I can find an audience, like, I feel really good because that was the initial start of my dream for my career as a motivational speaker. And mm-hmm. when I began my advocacy, you know, I reached out to you on Twitter, and you know, and I was like, you actually provided me with my first platform to share my story. Honestly, Larry, I was so thrilled when you, you know, initially allowed me to be a guest on your show, this Mental Health Matters radio show. For that, I'm so grateful to this day.
You're going to have me all choked up here in a minute. You keep it up. I'm serious.
And that's because it actually took me quite some time to be able to finally be certified as a NAMI In Our Own Voice presenter. I think ever since I first met you, it probably took me about a year until I could go out and officially go out and tell my story on the platform of NAMI.
Well, you have to understand, too, that telling your story isn't as easy as it sounds.
Yeah.
You know, because you're talking to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you're telling them things that not many people know, you know,
right.
about your history and background and so on and so forth. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like I don't talk much about time I spent in the service, especially, mm-hmm. well, stateside, yeah, not so much, but overseas, I don't talk much about it at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nothing similar to what you, but it's in a way it's similar because you're trying to put it behind you, you know. And, yeah. you know, when you're talking about your mental health issues, whatever they may be, and you're talking to strangers about them and what you did or didn't do, you know, it's tough, you know, because like my buddy, he, you know, he was just totally off the wall. You know, he thought his wife and two daughters were, you know, aliens and, you know, things like that. And, you know, yeah. And, you know, here's somebody that's, you know, chief financial officer of a corporation, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So. You know, it's not easy at all. And I know it's not easy. It hasn't been easy for you either.
I think part of it is that if we're very fearful about judgment and strangers judging us, I think that's what makes it harder to tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
But things that have helped me to overcome things like that are like going to this dance session that where the point of going is to dance as if no one is watching.
Going to what now?
A dance session.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you go there, there's just no judgment. There's no judgment. And it's kind of like being an artist. When I discovered this quote that goes something like, when you're making art, do it because you want to. And while other people are judging whether it's good or bad, make more art.
Hmm.
You know?
Interesting. Yeah.
And so I think sometimes, like, telling our stories and is somewhat similar to making art. When we're doing a presentation, when we're creating something, we do it for us because we want to. And I think that's what's made telling my story very cathartic, because the more I tell my story, the more I have learned to be able to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I'm able to accept it, the more I am able to heal and not allow the past to control how I feel today.
Right.
You know, like right. it's helped me to overcome the trauma that I've experienced in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that I am so much stronger than I ever believed I was before. Because I underestimated myself a lot growing up, especially with perfectionist issues.
Well, I think a lot of us do that, you know. Anyway, you know, whether we have a mental health issue or not, I think a lot of us do that, you know. I see that you received an award. Youth and Young Adult Peer Leadership Award.
Yes.
At the Alternatives Conference in Tennessee. Wow. You had to go to Tennessee to get this award?
Yes.
Whereabouts in Tennessee?
Memphis?
Okay.
And it was the 29th National Alternatives Conference. These conferences are grant-funded by SAMHSA, S-A-M-H-S-A. And I wasn't able to be there without the help of, without being a scholarship recipient for Disability Rights California.
Wow.
And I was one of two people selected to go, and when I went to the conference, it was a conference just for peers, like individuals with lived experience, and from all over the country, and it just felt so good because it's kind of like, think of, you know how like you say that NAMI is a place where there's no judgment, like it's a support group, right?
Right. Right.
Well, think of a conference where there's no judgment, and it's a huge support group. So it's just like, wow, like, it just feels like the whole conference is a support group. And when you don't have to pretend, and when people just understand you and know what you've been through, it just feels like a love fest in a way, you know? And one of the wristbands that they gave me, it says love more and judge less.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that everybody could learn more about, you know. That wristband should be given to everybody, you know. Especially in this day and age we're living through right now in the last couple of weeks. And, you know. But that's awesome. You know.
Yeah, and another thing that was so profound about receiving that award in Memphis was that, you know, only several blocks down was the place where Martin Luther King Jr. Was shot.
Yep.
And he has always been my role model since junior high.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like in some ways I help to carry on the dream that he envisioned of people feeling like they are equal, like everyone is equal, and no one's value is less than any other. You know?
Right, right.
And so, you know, when people make assumptions about what individuals with mental illness are like, you know, it's like not all of them are violent, and you know, and but people make stereotypes, and our value has never been less than anyone else. Each and every single one of us, regardless of our socioeconomic status, racial, ethnic background, you know, we are. Each and every single one of us is a precious human being, no matter
that's
what
right.
we've ever been through in our lives.
That's
know?
Right.
And
statistics will prove that a person with a mental health issue is more likely to be the victim than the perpetrator. But, you know, the news media, all they want to blow up is, oh, you know, this person was schizophrenic or this, you know, this or suffered from severe depression or, you know, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that they didn't. Yes, they did. But the percentage in retrospect is so small compared to basically one in four people, or 25% of the world population. You know, and, you know, that's the sad part, too, is that there's more people with mental health problems in jail than they are in mental hospitals. And that's sad, you know. But one of the other things I see on your list that you sent me was in March 2015, you won an award.
The 2015 Woman of the Year Award from my senator, Ed Hernandez.
Yes. Woman of the Year. Wow. Would you explain that a little bit?
So, the former NAMI San Gabriel Valley president, Victor Cass, nominated me for this award, and I got selected for my senator's district for the category of social services because for my efforts in trying to normalize the conversation on mental health because of the stigma in our Asian American communities. And it was so, to receive these awards have been so affirming because when I had such drama with my parents, you know, on this journey, you know, heart-wrenching times, when my parents couldn't understand, you know, what I was going through, and my mom came to that ceremony, and so did my sister, and it was just so affirming because it validated the work that I was doing.
Right.
You know, because I do so much volunteer work.
Yeah, I know. I see that.
Yeah.
Remember what I tell you. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to reiterate, I think volunteer work is awesome, you know, and I'm all for it, and I think it's wonderful, the work you do, but I think you have to take care of yourself first. Then the volunteer work comes second. You know, I mean, if you enjoy going for a run, well, make sure you do it, you know, or you enjoy reading, take a half hour, 40 minutes a day and read, you know. If you like walking the dog, take the dog for a walk. I don't, you know, whatever. Whatever it is you enjoy, make sure you do it for a, it doesn't have to be a, you know, half the day, half hour, 45 minutes. That's it, you know. You still running?
Exercising has become one of my weaknesses, and like, but I think because it's just like being able to tell my story and be, and mental health advocacy has become like, I guess you could say, one of my addictions, because it just, it's I'm always surrounded by validation that and the love that little Emily, when she was younger, didn't feel when she was growing up. You know, so, but, you know, when you say that, I tell myself that I have to pace myself, too. Sometimes I don't, and I've kind of taken, like, I've been going a much slower pace since the end of June, and, especially because I got sick this month. I'm at the very end, tail end of a cold right now. And I think my brain is, you know, works so much faster than my body can handle. And my brain was like so getting so used to, you know, doing so much that to become sick and to stay home like straight was a challenge in itself.
Yeah.
When I am just home all the time, it's just like, and I think every day is there are life challenges to, life lessons to be learned in everything that we face. And I think that I've been definitely challenging myself with learning patience every day.
Well, let me ask you something. I remember the first time we spoke, you said you didn't take medication.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you exercised and were into holistic items.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still not on medication.
That's good.
I go to support groups every once in a while. Recovery International has been very supportive in helping me to change my insecure thoughts to secure thoughts. When I received that award from October.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really pretty, like, a plaque. And I had forgotten to ask for the box. And when I wanted to share it and show it to my classmates for a program I was taking, I had accidentally dropped it. And so I got cracks on the side of it. And so my perfectionist self came out. I was beating myself over the head emotionally, and I was like, oh my gosh, you klutz, like, how could you do that? And, you know, I was just, you know, just beating myself so much. And but I had to go into the class because I was already a little bit late, and I had to talk myself down in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling myself, you know, without Recovery International self-help techniques, like they teach you like change your, if you cannot change your situation, you change your attitude towards it.
Okay.
And so the way I was able to change my attitude was to tell myself, Emily, this is normal. People drop things all the time.
Yeah, they do.
this award is not your life. This award is a representation of your accomplishments.
That's right.
And so it's not your health. It's not you. You know,
right, and it's, you know, it's a plaque, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nice, don't get me wrong, but it's a plaque, you know.
Yeah.
The accomplishment to reach that point, to receive that, that's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
The plaque,
yeah.
You know, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gotten over the years many certificates and yada yada. And I have a notebook. I stick them in there, and you know, because to me, they're not what's important. What's important is what I and others did to get to that point.
Right.
And that's the same thing with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sure, the plaque is nice and everything. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a few chips in it. So what? You know,
yeah.
My car's got a one or two dents in it, but that's, you know, I still
yeah.
drive it, you know? It's,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think now it's like when I look at it, I you know, the old me would be more ashamed of having a crack, having those cracks in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the new me is like, you know what? It, lots of people feel cracked. Lots of people feel broken.
That's right.
But we're not broken. The cracks have only helped us to be stronger. Because sometimes when we go through these challenges, it helps us to fall apart in order to bring ourselves back together again.
Right. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I think all you're doing is awesome. Because I remember the first time we spoke, was that about 2 years ago?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. That's why this life sometimes feels so surreal. I'm like, did I really live through all this?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, and you're a lot younger than I am.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm dreaming.
No, you're not dreaming.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find that it's just amazing, you know, the things that you've accomplished from where you were when we first spoke to where you are now. It's mm-hmm. It's just mind-boggling, and I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
I really do, you know. I understand that you coordinated Breaking the Silence on Asian American Mental Health.
Mm-hmm.
Would you elaborate a little bit on that?
That was the first community forum conference-like event that I had put together with the support of a team. I invited a lot of the speakers to speak on their experiences from various points of view, from family members to clients, consumer peers, to mental health professionals, to one of the LA County Mental Health Commissioners, because we need people to understand from different levels how the mental health care system even works and what are the challenges and struggles that people are facing when navigating stigma, when we're trying to seek help. And so it was a well-received program. We had over 80 people present.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and I think what actually was very emotionally triggering was when LA County Departmental Health, when they knew that I was organizing this event, only provided me with one $25 gift card for all that effort. It was really hurtful. But, you know, it didn't, I had to take a step away, like a 6 to 8 month hiatus from the Asian Coalition. But it didn't stop me from continuing because I'm doing this for suicide prevention. I'm not doing this just for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I never stopped. I don't stop, and if I do stop, it's only for self-care.
Let me ask you something, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that, how do I word it, the stigma for mental health issues is more predominant in the Asian population than in other populations?
I know that definitely it is strong in populations of minority groups,
mm-hmm.
the Latino groups and the African Americans.
Right.
But I mean, it, I think it is, I think, because even with, there's a documentary I watched called The Mask You Live In, and that one is about how males feel like boys grow up with messages to say, man up, be a man, don't be a sissy. And that is very similar to the notion of saving face in the Asian community. You know, to not show that you have any problems. And I think that's something that we need to do away with, because we need to know what our weaknesses are in order to be able to improve on them, or else you'll never know how to improve yourself.
Right.
Then you'll always be in denial. And so I think that's something that all of our communities have to face.
You know what I think? Maybe, I don't know, just from an outsider's point of view, you know, like different people's backgrounds have, you know, it's fine. They find it hard to accept things like mental illness. And, you know, they turn around and they, like parents and grandparents, oh, get over it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because when they had, you know, back when they were growing up, it was never spoken about, you know.
Right.
But everybody, I think, had a, quote unquote, different Aunt Susie. Or, you know, mm-hmm. Uncle Bill or something, and, mm-hmm. you know, they were off up in the, you know, they put them, you know, in the attic room or something and let them sit there or whatever, you know. But now that it's coming out more, I think that, and I'm not just saying Asian population, all populations find it difficult to accept,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, well, you know, my son or my daughter, you know, just going through a tough time, you know, they'll get over it, you know, get over it, you know, and it's very hard because they can't get over it, you know, it's not like they don't want to get over it, you know, and it's just, it's on the, you know, to me, it's like, you know, it's tough, you know, and like you said, it's not only the Asian population, you know, Latinos and blacks and, you know, Germans and French and what have you, you know, it's the whole conglomerate, really, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. Because I think what Nani has been really good about doing is trying to alleviate the stigma, but you know, when I started with NAMI, I had noticed that the makeup of my affiliate was mostly like elder Caucasians, and I was like, well, where are the people who look like me? And
you mean the good looking young women? I know what you were talking about. I was only teasing you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you are a good-looking young woman, so I mean, but, you know.
Thank you. And so I guess that's where, like, you know, I realized, you know, that probably it's that, not me, it's hard. What I think is great about NAMI is that they have been able to alleviate the stigma for you know, the Caucasian communities, and I think that what makes it tough is that, you know, the people of color, maybe it could, the makeup of the affiliate is a reflection of the stigma of the communities in groups minority groups, possibly. And so, but, you know, there's, I'm really happy to know that there are different groups all over the nation that are trying to alleviate the stigma. And, like, for example, I was just introduced to a lady from the East Coast in Massachusetts on Asian Women for Health. She's, they got a grant from the Hope and Grace Initiative to do, to launch a mental, Asian American mental health campaign.
Okay.
And so they had reached out to me and asked me if I would like to become an ambassador for their campaign. And I was like, oh, okay, great, sure.
Yeah. You know?
And so, I mean, it's and even when I went to the Together Against Stigma conference last year in February, to be able to connect with people from all over the world who are trying to alleviate the stigma was just so affirming, because, like, it just reaffirms that I'm not alone.
Right.
And that
right.
I've never been alone.
I know that the New Jersey, NAMI New Jersey, rather than the individual one that I belong to, the state NAMI, they're having family-to-family classes in Spanish, Asian, you know, in different languages and such, to reach out to all the people, you know. Which is great, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they're here in this country, but they don't speak a lot of good English, you know. So they're, you know, they're reaching out to them through the various languages. And that's good, you know.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually also even someone in your state, her name is Pearl J. Park. She created a documentary especially about Asian American mental health based on the story of Cam Truong. He's not a relative of mine, but he definitely is a brother, Asian, like Asian American mental health advocate brother, who has been speaking longer than I have and talking about how the immigrant refugee experience from Vietnam has affected his family. And so there's definitely a lot of voices out there who are advocating to speak up about Asian American mental health. And Pearl is actually, yeah, she's right in, she's in New Jersey. So I'd love to connect the two of you in the near future.
Yeah. You could do that. You know, I'm open to anything like that. I want to ask you about you coordinated an event in June of this year. Last year. I'm sorry, 2015. Understanding your child and finding resources to help your family. Why did you? How did you get into, you know, the children part of it?
Well, one thing that my efforts are towards is educating immigrant communities about how the generation gap affects their family. When an immigrant family moves to the U.S., they're not really acculturated or completely assimilated, and so it's harder for them to understand what their children are experiencing when they go to school and they leave the home. And what are the cultural values that are exposed to them? Because for myself, when I was growing up, you know, growing up inside my home and then going to school, the values were so different and they clashed. And because they clashed, it was so difficult for me to understand which values do I operate on.
Right.
And because I, my parents, and it's no fault to my parents because they parented me the best they knew how, given what they grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't fault them for their efforts at all. But when I try, so what I try to do is I try to tell immigrant parents to try to talk to your kids, not in a way that is bossy, demanding, but to try to get to know your kids. Once you get to know your kids, then you try to bridge a level of understanding so that if they were ever to have feelings of suicide, that they would come to you. You know, because I think it would be so terrible is to lose your child when you never knew what they were thinking, you know, and to be able to share feelings of humility, experiences from your own life where things were not always the best.
That's true.
Because then your children will realize, oh, it's okay to have experiences of challenges when you're growing up. Because,
right, right.
Because those are the times when you need to.
And I can't tell you, Emily, how many families I've come in contact with over the years who have lost a child, you know, through suicide, you know, just recently, you know. It's something that, you know, has to be
talked about,
right, exactly. You know, we only have a couple minutes left, but I do want to say you have a speaking engagement coming up in July 14th, only a couple days away, right?
Yep.
San Marino Rotary Club.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is one of my dreams come true because I've been waiting for a speaking engagement like this since the beginning of my advocacy 3 years ago. And I'm going to be talking about just this topic.
Okay.
That we were just talking
right,
about.
Right.
And so that, you know, the leaders of San Marino can understand better what it is that the understanding the pressures of the children of immigrant families.
Right.
Because even though I wasn't that straight A student, I experienced those feelings of needing, never feeling good enough, and you know, experiencing suicidal thoughts.
Right. Right.
And but deciding to finally not end my life because I know that this. My story needs to be shared for the sake of other students who may right now even be experiencing what I experienced when I was growing up. So people need to know. They need to know and be able to give people the platforms, the safe spaces to be able to share how they're feeling inside.
Right, it's
heart-wrenching pain.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. And you also have on the 29th of July, Congresswoman Grace
Napolitano.
Yeah, you can tell I'm not Italian. Yeah. you've got a mental health consortium meeting there, right?
Mm-hmm. That is also a very honorable presentation that I'm going to be doing at the end of this month. I never imagined it would happen, but, you know, it happened.
And that's great.
And I'm so happy, privileged that I'll be one of the speakers that day. So, yeah.
I can't tell you how happy I am for you. Because, you know, I can just tell, you know, from talking to you over the last 3 years, how far you've come. And, you know, and I still say, take a half hour, 40 minutes a day to do your thing, you know, whatever you like to do. Okay. I know you like all the, you know, commitments you're involved in and everything. And I think that's awesome, but do something for yourself. You know, read a book, dance more, or whatever, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk with me again on the on the show. Emily, I just think it's wonderful, and we have to stay in touch.
Most definitely. Did you ever go to the NAMI national or state conferences?
I go to the state conferences. I don't go to the national ones.
Ah, okay.
Because, I don't know. It's just, you know, I'm usually tied up around that time when they're having those. But I do go to the state ones.
Awesome. Well, I do hope to meet you in the future.
If I have to fly to California to do so, I
will. That
would
be wonderful, too.
Yeah, see that? All right, Emily, I really appreciate talking to you, and, you know, keep up the good work.
Likewise.
If there's anything I can do to help you or, you know, whatever, you have my email and phone number and all that. And
awesome.
Keep in touch.
Will do.
Okay.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Enjoy the week.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright. And remember, folks, mental health does matter. We'll see you again next week, same time, same station. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
Our detectives are continuing to download body camera footage. There's over 170 hours of body camera video to download.
David Brown, the Dallas police chief. The investigation continues into Thursday night's sniper attack that left 5 officers dead. Several buildings downtown are reopening. President Obama and former President George W. Bush will speak at a memorial service tomorrow. The protests continue in the aftermath of the 2 police shootings last week in Minnesota and Louisiana. Almost 50 people were arrested in Baton Rouge after protesters marched on the state capitol and blocked streets. More than 100 arrests were made and 20 officers were hurt when activists shut down an interstate in St. Paul Saturday night. This is USA Radio News.
If you'd like to control your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news. My name is Floyd Brown, and I'm the CEO of USA Radio. It's called the Zona Plus, and it's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. I'm using it myself. 22 clinical studies confirm regular use of the Zona Plus can decrease your blood pressure by 10% or more. That's why it's been written about by Harvard, the Mayo Clinic, and the American Heart Association. As a listener to USA Radio, the company is offering you a special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to ZonaPlusUSA.com. That's ZonaPlusUSA.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention USA Radio and save $50 on your Zona Plus and change your life. Remember, Zona Plus USA.